This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is also the last week of full time. I have one day next week that I'm going to be full time. Well, quasi full time for me. And then I go to halftime on Tuesday. Whoop, whoop. So there you go. Counted it all the way down, and we're almost here. Now that the other thing I should confess to is for however many weeks this has been where my car podcaster Spotify thing comes online when I turn on my car. You'll notice I didn't have to do that this week. And that's because, did I mention this last week? I can't remember. That's because I turned down the volume before I started the car. Ding, ding. Man. So all this time, I've been struggling with this. Man, Phil, just turn down the volume. The little thing can't talk to you if you turn down the volume. Anyways, work has been fine this week. Making the transition, you know, doing the thing. Work is always interesting because there's always a whole bunch of things that are happening, and there's still a whole bunch of things that are happening, but you know, I will have less responsibilities after Monday. We could always gotta say starting Tuesday. So that's good. That's good. This is gonna be an interesting transition. I'm really looking forward to this, and I'm looking forward to my response to all of this. So we'll see. Big transition, but it's fine. Everything's set up. Everything seems to be in place. I don't have any great anxieties about what's coming. I have a plan. Seems like we're moving forward. Part of the plan is get more sleep. So that's, I've been fudging over, well, really since, probably since May-ish of 2020. And the reason I've been fudging is that my target before I started the costumes in earnest was to try to be in bed about 10 and be up about 6. Well, that's approximately 8 hours. I didn't always accomplish that, but that was the goal. Be in bed at 10, be up at 6. Once I started recognizing that there might be some value to doing the costumes, I needed to find extra time. And I decided that the way I would find extra time was I would tack it on the end of my day. So where I would normally get to bed at 10, I decided, you know what, I could probably get to bed at 11, and if need be, 11:30, and I would probably be okay. And that was the only way the costumes were going to get done, because that first year of doing the costumes, that was exciting, because I had kind of committed to doing a costume per week. It was sometime in April, May, I could go back and look it up, in 2020, and at that point, I was committed to putting something out every week. And so there were a lot of just, go ahead and buy this off of Amazon or put these pieces together or do that in that first year. There was some, you know, make it from scratch stuff. But it was a bit of a scramble. And the only way I made that scramble happen was because I robbed sleep. So I, you know, shaved off a little bit here and there, got it done. There weren't too many nights when it was bad, 2:30, 1:30, but, you know, for the most part, I was able to kind of get it squared away to where I was getting 6.5 hours, and that was fine. I could function on that. I think it was about around that time that I started kind of playing around with coffee beans as well and those kind of things, and then I just got to the place where I just needed the caffeine, you know. Now that I've sort of moved on from that, I think I may start weaning myself off caffeine and just start getting more rest. For one thing, when I was looking at all the caffeine stuff earlier, the people that I was listening to were saying that caffeine actually had a benefit, so long-term benefit, perhaps with Alzheimer's, and so I was thinking, well, hey, you know, if I can get a benefit, a short-term benefit of being able to function better during the day because I'm shaving time off my sleep, then land almighty, if a long-term benefit is there as well, then let's do this thing. And so for, you know, years, I've just been drinking coffee for the caffeine. Well, the little thing I was listening to this week, they were saying that, you know, caffeine maybe not so much, but we'll talk about that in a minute. And if caffeine is maybe not so much, then now that I have the time to get more sleep, I'm just going to do that, which is pretty glorious. So we'll see. I don't know what my wife is going to think about it when I tell her, yep, sweetie, I'm going to start going to bed at 8:30. Because, of course, the other thing that's happened is as soon as we started taking care of Aiden, and he shows up at 5:15, 4:30 is non-negotiable at this point, because there are days that I need to be up and have my shower taken and be ready to receive him at 5:15, and 4:30 is pretty much it by the time you get up and kind of get yourself awake and get a shower taken and get dressed and get ready to go. So now that it's 4:30, that's why I've been trying to get in bed at 9:30, which I drift on those sometimes, but still, that's only 7. And then if you want to try to get 8, it's 8:30. And then if it's 8:30, it means you really need to stop eating about 3:30 in the afternoon. Because they say you should stop eating 5 hours before you go to bed to get a good night's rest. And a lot of the longevity people that I listen to, they're all talking about it's sleep, it's sleep, it's sleep. You really, really need your sleep. That not getting your sleep is hard on your brain. So that's one of the things I'm looking forward to. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I am planning on working Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week. And then on that schedule, unless there's a conflict. And it's interesting because on Thursday of next week, we're going to do a team lunch. And I don't normally go on those because I'm not going to build a company for going on a team lunch. And I don't want to lose the money. But I did tell them I would go on team lunch with them this coming Thursday because I'll be on, you know, an abbreviated schedule. And as it turns out, on Tuesday of next week, there's a meeting that they could only put together at 2 o'clock, which would normally be when I would be leaving on the half days, but that means it's going to give me an extra hour there, and that means that'll make up for that time I'm going to take off to go to lunch. So, you know, everything works out. Because God is good. It all just works out. So we'll see how this all goes. and it'll be fine. In terms of writing, I did upload all the files for book 22 yesterday. I finished my read through, got everything compiled over the weekend, started uploading stuff. As far as I know, everything is up and running. And book 22 is in the can. And yesterday, or this morning, I just went back and started my read through of book 23 now, because I have half of that written. And so I need to read through what I've done and then start into the next writing sprint on this coming week. Technically, July the 1st, I start the next writing sprint. And see if we can get that book work finished up. I have a basic general idea of where we're going, and I think it's going to be fine. So it'll be interesting. And once we get that guy under control, which I don't really expect to have any problems with, because all of a sudden I have more hours in the day, and then the writing becomes my first priority, and so I can work longer in the mornings, and I get home sooner, and I can work longer in the evenings. So I really suspect getting 10,000 words a day in is going to be a whole lot easier. And then, you know, I have other costumes and things to do, and so that's going to be interesting. I am just finishing up. I'm almost done with my Marvin the Martian helmet redo. I thought I was done. And then I thought, oh, you really need to add this one little piece here to hide this seam and, you know, make it look a little more finished. And so it's like, fine. So I'll get that done, and I've got one little chest piece that I have to attach with magnets to kind of hide some of the hardware that I'm using. So all of that, I think, is going to be fine. And I did manage, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, maybe I did it in this past week, I did manage to get the frowning of Marvin the Martian working consistently. And kind of built some extra stuff into the design to where it would guide the little triangle as it comes down over Marvin the Martian's eyes to make him look like he's frowning. So I got that taken care of. I think that's going to work. I am using a kettlebell at this point, a 20-pound kettlebell, and doing one-arm lifts and then push-ups, push, whether they ever call thrust. I don't know what they're called. When you put the barbell over your head, it's not really a snatch and clean and jerk or whatever, because I'm doing it slow and putting it up, but I'm doing 10 of those on each arm just to kind of build up the whole core system and all that kind of stuff, where hopefully when I'm lifting this 30-pound head over my head and trying to keep it balanced as it descends over me, and then I strap it in, hopefully that is going to go easier. The Marvin the Martian is coming up in 3 or 4 weeks. So I should be ready by then. I did order a 3D printer. And as soon as I get Marvin the Martian done, then the next project is going to be scratching my head to see if I can figure out how to make a life-size Mr. Potato Head and put myself in it. So we'll see. We'll see. It'll be fun. You know, honestly, I was on the verge of abandoning this idea. And I guess we'll call this synchronicity or God's way of nudging me forward, but multiple weeks ago, my buddy Dave, who knows everybody's name at Walmart, because he walks around Walmart, I think, almost every day, and just talks to the people there. And well, he had told me, he said her name and described her as, you know, an older lady with white hair. Well, there's multiples of those there. And I just went, that her husband had died. I went, oh man. So then I was kind of trying to pay attention and, you know, trying to see if I could sense which of the workers there it was, and I was never able to kind of do that. I didn't get a read on any of it. At the same time, I'm working on Marvin the Martian, and it's taking longer, and I'm looking at my timeline because Mr. Potato Head is mid-August, and I don't even have a printer yet, and I'm going through all the project analysis stuff to figure out where we are and run estimates and see how tight we're getting. And I had just almost decided that I wasn't going to make a run at it, that I was just going to use whatever I already had. And then I started noticing that the Walmart worker that I had discussed National Potato Day with, because she told me, you should do something on National Potato Day. And so we jabbered about it, talked about how I could be a giant McDonald's fries or something for it. And then I think I had told her, well, I'll try to make a Mr. Potato Head, because that sounds like a lot of fun. And she was saying, that'd be great. Well, I noticed I hadn't seen her for multiple weeks. And so I thought, well, I hadn't really discussed Mr. Potato, or National Potato Head, or National Potato Day with anybody else. So I just thought maybe that's the reason that I don't have to worry about this. She was back last Friday or last Saturday, and so I stopped to chat with her, and I said, I haven't seen you in a while. And she said, yeah, my husband died. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. And so then Dave came up and we were all talking together. And then afterwards I thought, oh, okay, so she just lost her husband. You know, maybe you should make an attempt to do Mr. Potato Head, you know, just as kind of a little something something. And so I thought, yeah, okay, so we are doing this. It was like I heard Jesus go, and I thought, yeah, okay, we are doing this. We're going to make a run at it. So I did order the printer. I ordered a bamboo 3D printer. They had a big sale. That was the next thing. As soon as I decided to go forward with it, I get this email from Bamboo how it's their mid-year, or it's their three-year anniversary, where they had one of their printers. That was a nice printer, and it was normally like $699, which I would never spend that for it, but it was discounted to $399. Okay, well, now you're in range. And so I went in and ordered that. They said it would be 7 to 10 days, and then I got a notice that it's FedEx already has it, and it's showing up tomorrow. Which is a little early for me because I'm not quite done with, you know, Marvin the Martian. But everything will work out. We'll see. So now I have to learn how to oversize small models and how to break them into pieces, because obviously these 3D printers don't print life-size Mr. Potato Heads. And then I just got to kind of figure out on the fly how to do the rest of this stuff. So I am looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a fascinating thing to learn and to do the experimentation and have it work and not work and, you know, all that kind of good stuff. So we'll see. We'll see. Tomorrow is OOTD Day, National OOTD Day, so this is one of the new holidays for this year where I'm demonstrating that I am hip and cool and know the lingo of the youngins. This one is awkward enough that Dave, I'm taking him to breakfast tomorrow morning so that he can kind of help me with it once we get to Walmart, because this thing, fully configured, is 10.5 feet tall. But, I mean, it's not, you know, I'm not a monster in it or anything like that, because it's just a giraffe that's like a 5-foot giraffe that just sticks up over my head. But there are enough pieces in it, and there's enough awkward in it that Dave is going to help me kind of get the pieces on before I do the parade through the store. And I'm going to have to do the parade through the store, and then I'm going to have to go out and kind of strip off some pieces just so I can do grocery shopping, because it'll just be obnoxious to try to grocery shop in. But all of that will be fun. It'll be fun, you know? And so we'll see. I do have Aiden tomorrow, so I'm going to have to get half-dressed and then take him to the Legacy Daycare place and laugh with the ladies there, and then, you know, head to breakfast with Dave and then do the thing. So this will be fun. It will be something different. I am actually ramping up potentially for doing a Star Trek Day this year. That is going to be September the 8th. It's in that time frame. I think Labor Day is actually on a Monday this year, but that means it's going to collide with International Dog Day. And I really like the International Dog Day stuff, and that's also colliding with National Bowtie Day, so I don't think I'm doing Labor Day this year. I'm going to skip over that, but that means I have a opening the next week. I forgot to get the mail. One moment. My plan is I have to get this cleared with my beloved wife. My plan is that I would like to do Star Trek Day, but I specifically would like to do the costume for the guys who were the background actors in Star Trek The Next Generation Season 1. Because I just consider that whole thing to be a hysterical story. So, who knows? I may try to pitch this to my wife and she might go, yeah, no. And that'll be the end of it. And that's fine. That's fine. I'll find something else. I don't know. I could be the Gorn or something from Star Trek. Or Q, one of the two. So there's other options, but I would love to do the Star Trek uniform from TNG, the first season, because it was so funny how things just sort of eat on people, and they continue to eat on people for years, and then, you know, finally someone tries to do something that just to resolve the fact that it's been eating on them for that many years. In the original Trek, which of course was done in the 60s, and micro miniskirts were all the rage in the 60s because they were quote unquote empowering. Sure. And there was always kind of this flack that Star Trek would get for these, you know, micro miniskirts that the Uhuru was wearing and all the female crew members were wearing. And Star Trek kept trying to say, this is empowering, you know. Shows a woman doesn't have to, you know, just dress for whatever. I was like, oh, okay, sure. So, apparently, my guess would be that kind of criticism that Roddenberry was always trying to defend himself, that says, no, it's not sexist that all the women are wearing, you know, miniskirts and the men are wearing pants. So apparently, Gene Roddenberry never really kind of got over those critiques, because when Star Trek The Next Generation came along, he decided that he was going to show everybody that those miniskirts weren't sexist, that in fact it was just a different thing that people were wearing, and that clothing styles had been liberated. And so he decided that what he was going to do was he was going to have male ensigns, and they were going to say, no, it's not a dress. They were going to call it a scant. And they were going to say, no, this isn't a dress, it's a scant. That's what male crew members can wear if they want to. Except the funny thing is that if you look at all the background men who are wearing these things in the first episode or the first season. It's just hysterical because every single one of them has this look on their face when they're walking around in these things thinking, what am I wearing? And they all look just, you know, embarrassed, period. They're just embarrassed. So I found a pattern for one of those things. And I'm thinking that it would get me into so many conversations if I just went ahead and made myself one of those and wore it for Star Trek Day, because I just find it so funny. But we'll see. Like I said, I don't have clearance from my wife yet on that, but we'll see. Anyways, so today, and I have to do this quick because I'm already home. Today I came across a podcast, by Chris Williamson from the Modern Wisdom podcast. And it was very, very interesting. I had heard of Dr. Amen, I believe his last name is Amen, and the brain scans that he'd done. He's been around a long time, has done a lot of brain scans, has concluded a lot of really good information from brain scans. And his approach really is that if someone is dealing with mental issues of any kind, that the first place to start is to see how their physical brain is doing and do a brain scan. And then from that, do imaging, because he said it's just been amazing. If I remember the number he mentioned, they have done something, I think it's like 250,000 brain scans on people. And they've been just doing some incredible work on brain health and the effect of mistreating your physical brain has on your behavior and your abilities. And it just makes a tremendous amount of sense. And so he has an acronym when people say, well, what can I do about brain health? If you go to YouTube and just put in Modern Wisdom Brain Health, the interview with Dr. Amen will come up. And I haven't actually finished it, but this section was good enough that I thought, I'm talking about that on the podcast, and then I'll finish up the podcast. I'll finish up the Modern Wisdom podcast later. And I'm not going to be able to go through all of these, but just to give you a flavor of what they talk about on this podcast, it's so good. Dr. Amen was talking about that he had made an acronym, Bright Minds. And this acronym helps him remember the things that you can do to help your brain health and to improve your brain health, your physical brain health, and thereby improve your entire life, because we all function according to our brain. And just as a side thing, I have mentioned in the past that I get tickled when every time there's a new technological invention that someone says, oh, that must be how the brain works. And I've mentioned that when steam engines first came out, there were people talking about, oh, this is how the brain works. We must have all these valves, and then our body generates like steam, and that's how our brain works. And we think that's foolish today. We think that's foolish. But when electricity came along, then it was like, oh, this is how the brain works. And magnets, oh, this is how the brain works. And, you know, the first relays came, oh, this is how the brain works. And then the first integrated circuit, oh, this is how the brain works. Because with every advance of technology, we want to think that we aren't that far from God in terms of creativity. So obviously, this technology that we've invented does all these fancy things that look something maybe like the brain. And so therefore, we assume that's how the brain works, and that makes us feel like, oh yeah, see, God, he's not that big of a deal. And so, of course, when the integrated circuit chips come along, it's like, oh, that's this must be how the brain works. And then the internet and networking and all those things. Oh, that's, well, the latest incarnation of that is artificial intelligence, large language models, reinforcement learning. And I was out with a buddy. I don't think I've mentioned this on the podcast. I was out with a buddy and he made this statement, you know, because these large learning models, I mean, that's how the brain works. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. And he kind of looked at me like, what? Because, you know, A, I don't just flat out contradict people usually. So I think he was a little surprised by that. And he said, what? Well, that's what I said. So I told him the whole story about this. And I said, honestly, I know there are some things that large learning models and reinforcement learning and, you know, these analysis models, I know there are things that look similar, but Roger Penrose and others have actually postulated that there may be structures in the brain that are small enough that they can actually function on a quantum level, and that maybe what's really going on in the brain is some sort of very sophisticated quantum computing, because the brain is incredible. We might kind of get this feeling of, oh, the brain is so slow, you know, because we can spin these little processors at billions and billions of cycles, and we can generate a whole bunch of them to get teraflops of floating math performance out of them. But the brain, this little 3-pound chunk of goo, does an absolutely amazing job running a power consumption of a very dim incandescent bulb. That it just doesn't need much power at all to do everything we've been able to do. Well, what's the explanation for that? Well, maybe that's because the brain is functioning not only as a quantum computer, but as a gateway for consciousness. And maybe, in fact, all of our consciousness says exist outside this physical world. And as one person said, we are eternal beings having an earthly flesh experience, having a human experience, and we just have amnesia now, and we don't remember who we were before we came here. And maybe what we're really seeing when we lose our capabilities is that we are interfacing through these physical brains, and if they become impaired, then our interfacing to them loses functionality, but that doesn't mean that we lose functionality. You know, that we in our conscious selves may not be able to access what we usually can access, but we're still there. And I've had experiences in my life that I've related, when I had the global transient amnesia, when I had the bad silent migraine multiple weeks ago. I knew I was better than I was performing. But all those things that I just took for granted were gone. I just didn't have any depth. And then once the global transient amnesia passed and once the silent migraine passed, it was like I could just feel everything connecting back up. So it's really interesting. So say all that to say that I am well able and quite ready to believe that in fact brain health is extremely important. And so I'll just give you a couple of these, and these all make sense to me. So when you're talking about the acronym Bright Minds, B stands for blood flow. So low blood flow, according to Dr. Amen, is the number one brain imaging predictor of Alzheimer's disease. It goes with brain fog. So what gives you low blood flow in the brain? Well, caffeine restricts blood flow to the brain. Nicotine, marijuana, alcohol, not sleeping, being overweight. He said, I've published 3 studies on 33,000 people. As your weight goes up, the size and function of your brain goes down, which should scare the fat off anyone. Being sedentary, you know, little kids, when I was a little kids, were out all the time playing. R is retirement and aging. Does your brain look older than you are? Of all the genetics, oh, my dad is an alcoholic, that's why I drink. You could have the opposite thought. Many people do. My dad's an alcoholic, but that's why I don't drink. But genes aren't a death sentence. They could be your wake-up call. Let's see. A. What is A? A. General anesthesia. The kids who have general anesthesia have a higher incidence of ADD and learning disabilities. A single dose. Adults who have general anesthesia have a higher incidence of dementia from a single dose. And the worst is the coronary artery bypass surgery. If you're going to do something bad for your brain, because you might not have a choice, right? Choice between having a brain that's suboptimal and a heart not working. It's like, okay, we'll get the heart working, then dealing with the brain thing. And Dr. Amen says, and then we have to rehabilitate the brain. But very few people ever think about that. They just think general anesthesia is innocuous when, in fact, it surprised me. I mean, how I learned about it was I had a patient. She was an alcoholic. I got her sober, got her brain better. Brain was healthy. She had a knee replacement. And now she's crying on the phone to me. I have Alzheimer's disease. I scanned her. Her brain was completely toxic. So I go to the library. Hold on. I missed some stuff. Heart attack. There's H, head trauma. You know, I got a new printer and it prints both sides of the page, and I always forget to turn it over. So, A, R is retirement and aging. And naturally, me too. I've always done donated blood. I don't know what A is for. I is for inflammation, which I believe that too. You want to make sure that you get a lot of omega because you don't want things to be inflamed. G is genetics. So I think, you know, with genetics, it's a wake-up call, but it's not a death sentence. H is head trauma. This was very interesting. Major cause of psychiatric problems, and nobody knows about it because people don't look at the brain. And when you start looking at the brain, it's like, so when did you have a head injury? And they go, well, I didn't. And I'm like, are you sure? Have you ever fallen out a tree off a fence, dove into a shallow pool? And you can believe the number of people go, no. Oh, when I was 7, I fell out of a second-story window. Or when I was 13, I played football. If you've ever had a concussion, you had hundreds and even thousands of subconcussive blows. The brain is soft, the skull is hard, the skull has sharp bony ridges. Don't hit soccer balls with your head. So, B-R-I-G-H, head trauma, T is toxins. And he started talking about alcohol and marijuana. They're clearly toxic to brain. They're not good for you. But there's all kinds of other stuff out there. You know, even the stuff that they give you for blood contrast when they're doing CT scans and MRIs and all that stuff. You know, all those toxins they're pumping into you are metal because it helps it show up better on the scan. And then it sort of sticks around. They said when they do their brain scans, they use something else that you drink 32 ounces of water and it's gone. So anyways, and then he goes into MIND. It's really fascinating. And if you get a chance, you should run out and listen to it. I haven't finished listening to the podcast yet, but I will because at this point, this is very interesting to me. Because. Now then, the question is, did this run out of... Oh, the light is still on. Did this run out of batteries before I finished? No, it didn't. But it's 40 minutes. This was really long. Sorry. Anyways, I am home. I have made it home. And I am going to enjoy the weekend. And I have one more day. And then I'm going to halftime. This is Phil Ferrand. Have a great day, everyone.